Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here, as always.
What's up, fellas?
And now we are celebrating the fifth appearance of Mr. A to our film podcast.
Hey man, I feel like I've accomplished something.
Well, you know? Yeah, you get a badge.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Oh, in a very special place.
In the most special place.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to ask.
Yeah.
Well, right? You're going to have to dig for it.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Let's go and bring back memories of Bronson.
Yeah, we're cruising.
But we have a good, we watched a movie that Mr. A had recommended to us. It was on Netflix called The Baader-Meinhof Complex. Yeah. And Sam, you want to give us the rundown?
Yeah, it is a 2008 movie about the RAF, the Red Army Faction, that kind of got organized and committed a bunch of different terrorist acts from like the late 60s to the 70s. I don't know if they went into the 80s, right? They didn't.
It seems like it all kind of came to an end in like the 1977, 1978 time frame. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's directed by Uli Edel. I don't know how to say his name.
Uli, probably.
Uli. I think it's Uli if it's German.
And prior to the Baader-Meinhof Complex, he directed a bunch of TV movies like Caesar and King of Texas. And Evil Never Dies. Things I've never heard of, but I don't know. That could be cool because he did a great job with Baader-Meinhof, I think. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves. Mr. A, you want to give us kind of like a more, do you have anything to add with respect to the synopsis? I don't know if I'm doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, this kind of takes place during the late 1960s, early 70s. A lot of, a lot of things in the world were going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh,
you had Vietnam going on. You had a lot of the radical movements that emerged in the United States. And basically, the way the story is told is that this group organized is kind of a reaction to concerns about Nazi Germany and concerns about fascism and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it just kind of chronicles how these guys got organized and all the horrible crap that they did in Western
and
Germany.
It's really thorough though, because it shows all the bad stuff they did, and then it kind of shows how they were dealt with in jail and how they kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I mean, I guess I'll just pose this question to you two guys. Like, when I was watching the movie, I was kind of going through my iPhone, kind of like looking more stuff up about them.
Yeah.
And apparently the first generation is what it starts off with in the movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Second generation is kind of like the butt end of what we get in the movie with Bridget and those characters.
Okay.
And apparently that was like the mid to late 70s. And then the third generation existed between the 1980s and the 1990s, but it seems like it kind of fizzled out after the 80s, basically.
Okay.
And what are you going to do when the wall kind of falls
you
down?
You can't really be all angsty when there's not as much stuff to be angsty about.
Yeah. But I think, and a little tidbit, in 1998, the RAF sent a letter, 8-page letter to Reuters and told them that they were done.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Well, good for them. At least they
that's
wrote a letter.
Closure.
Yeah, with the machine gun insignia on it.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, so you knew it was from them.
Yeah.
Just curious, how much did you guys know about the Red Army Faction?
I knew nothing about the Red Army Faction.
Really, yeah, me neither.
Prior to watching this.
I mean, I know that they had like some stuff in one of my history classes from high school that we talked about them, but it was just like a passing thing. Like there was this terrorist group, they killed a bunch of people, but they didn't really affect anything.
Yeah.
Like they didn't really meet any of their high goals. So.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but I was just thinking how, out of all the Cold War movies that I've seen that are from Germany, it's always been dealing with East Germany, never like West Germany.
Yeah.
Right? Which I thought was an interesting twist of things.
Yeah.
And it was interesting for me just to see how Mr. A and I talked about this, but how everything is connected with other terrorist things going on
in
that time period.
Bombing in Munich during the 1972 Olympics.
Right.
Hijacking of the Lufthansa flight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, gosh, I didn't even realize that they were responsible for bombing, several military installations.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when I saw that, too.
Yeah. So I think, for those reasons, I think it's a pretty informative film.
Yeah.
If you don't know
definitely.
Anything about the RAF or Western Germany.
Right. Yeah. I think so. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I guess we can just get right into it and talk about favorite. This was a long movie. I think we could have a favorite scene as well.
Yeah.
So what you liked in general and favorite scene?
Okay, I guess I'll go first.
All right.
I'll start talking. I really liked how the movie like had a really consistent sense of style.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it kind of went through like two major decades.
Sure.
And it kind of kept that look going, and I just liked how it was directed. Like the way he sets up shots are kind of really pretty simple, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
But very evocative and kind of he has whoever is cinematographer, great job.
Yeah.
Good job. Because, like, yeah, he has some really awesome angles and shots throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. So I really like those aspects. I don't know what my favorite scene would be. I kind of like a silly scene.
Okay.
To me, it's kind of silly. It's just there's, like, a little montage where they're playing Sweet Child in Time by Deep Purple, and I mm-hmm. just like that song. So
okay.
I like that part. That's my silly one. But probably my favorite scene for Sirius would be... whenever they are first kind of trying to like recruit, it's like the first big heist kind of thing mm-hmm. that Meinhof is a part of.
Yeah.
And she just looks like totally horrified and freaked out. And mm-hmm. I think that's like her tipping point is when she goes out the window to follow.
Oh, yeah. When they take him over to the social research.
Yeah. When they're trying to get out. Yeah. They're trying to like get Botter out.
That was great.
Yeah, I just like that scene a lot because it shows like the transformation in her character in one like single shot. So
yeah.
That's what I liked. What about you, Mr. A?
Well, man, I mean, this movie's jam packed with a bunch of riveting action scenes. I think mm-hmm. you know, not only that scene where they get the Botter out of the Social Research Institute,
yeah.
but I think my favorite would have to be some of the scenes where they show the trial that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, they just don't give a crap.
Yeah.
And all these people are there that are they're all cheering them on. And right. you know, here's this Supreme Court justice who's trying mm-hmm. to maintain some sense of order and normalcy.
Yeah, I guess courts courts aren't that big of a deal, like, in Germany. Or maybe they weren't. Because, like, you can't get away with that type of shit here.
I don't know. I think they're in a sticky situation, the fact that...
Like they didn't have a gavel. He just like tapped his pen on the
table. The court setup, the courtroom setup was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a lecture hall or something.
Yeah.
I think it was a lecture hall.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's how they, that maybe that's just how they do their courts. Is it's like more of a lecture hall as opposed to kind of like a. Because
like even in the first courtroom scene when the blonde girl gets in trouble for doing the first bomb.
Oh, yeah. Mahler's with him.
Yeah. And they are. You know,
it looks a little rinky-dink in comparison to our courts.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But so that was your favorite scene. But what did you like in general?
Well, I think it echoes some of the things that Sammy said. You know, there's a consistent style that's used throughout the entire film. But, you know, I like movies that take me to places where I've never been before.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I kind of like that global hopscotching aspect of the movie.
That was kind of cool. Yeah. One thing did annoy me about that, though, is that every time they're in, like, an Islamic country, they had to play the adhan. The adhan doesn't play all day. It's something that happens just, like, five times a day. So it was really weird to hear.
They only play it five times like they're shooting.
They decided to, like, shoot it and, like, mic it in each time, like, loop it in. I thought that
I guess they just want to underscore the point that they were not in Germany anymore.
Yeah.
To play it off.
The Arabic writing everywhere didn't already set it off. But
right. Yeah. But I think another favorite scene would be where they're in Rome, mm-hmm. and they're still trying to put together the group.
Yeah.
And the lawyer, I guess, wants to get in on it.
Uh-huh.
And they say, okay, if you're going to be a real badass, why don't you go steal that woman's purse over there?
Uh-huh.
And he just makes casual conversation with her and just, you know, slips it away.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I need to wear a trench coat more often.
Yeah. It's getting cold, so we can get away with stuff like that, right?
I know, dude. It's like 100 degrees outside.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to get cold. It's almost November, and it's like 90 here in Lubbock.
Getting fucked.
Great job.
Yeah, but I think those are good points about the movie in general. There are so many good scenes. This movie is about roughly 2.5, you think?
Yes. Yeah, somewhere in there.
2.5 hours long, and there's this movie's chock full. 150
minutes, so yeah.
Okay, and the director's cut is even longer, apparently.
This doesn't say anything about...
If you go on the wiki.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay.
The
I mean, like, I couldn't tell you how long it is.
Oh, yeah. But I this thing, when you're watching it, the hopscotching thing was very cool because it almost seems like a Tom Clancy book in the fact that these guys have... How the hell are they getting the resources to go from here to there to everywhere back again?
You know, they invest well.
Which is...
good funds.
Yeah, right? And I liked it in the fact that it was... is kind of based more in reality. And I mean, not to say that. I also like the fact that you're kind of watching these people do these things, and you're not necessarily agreeing with them at all on why they're doing it. Right.
Yeah, I think the movie intends to make you kind of hate them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least
that's how I felt.
Or at least like kind of cheer against some of them. I think everyone had some. By the way, I like the fact that all women terrorists are hot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of
actually, to be fair, the dudes look pretty like handsome, like svelte and shit. Especially the one that kills the like toward the end when like they go to the guy's house and he's wearing a suit and he just like
Oh yeah. He kills the banker.
Yeah.
They're all very dapper and young. Nice, and when you look up the lady terrorists, they didn't look half bad.
No, yeah, the lady terrorists are definitely
I'd let them shoot me.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was a great film in the fact that you can cram so much into it. It wasn't over long. Because everything you're watching probably is necessary, or at least gives you some more information. Yeah. You know, it starts off on a nude beach. The movie starts off on a nude beach, and then it moves on to, you know, a forest right at the end. But I'm not going to tell them what happened at the end. But, you know, it's just from here, there, and everywhere, and it all makes it was, I think you have some problems with the plot, or like as far as being a little confused.
Yeah, because I'm dumb.
Well, I don't know. I think there's some stuff in there I wouldn't know about, right?
Yeah.
If I didn't remember that, like, you know, that little roster sheet.
No, I mean, I remember that. I was just like, I don't think we met all those characters.
And apparently when they let that woman out, it was a big to-do in Germany at the time. Like, will they not let her out?
Oh, okay.
And the argument was like, well, if we let her out, she's just going to go back to
being a terrorist.
And, you know, she did, but since we have no idea of the history of it, I guess that's just like an implied thing in Western German history, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but in general, I thought the plot and pacing was very exciting to watch, and I was involved throughout the whole movie.
It's really suspenseful throughout.
Yeah.
And I think he does a good job of capturing your attention, especially in that first, well, after the nude beach sequence.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Of course, that's going to capture anybody's attention.
Yeah.
But afterward, when it's showing the Shaw and his wife come in to Berlin, and then all these thugs start kicking the shit out of people. I thought that was really well done.
And the cops aren't doing anything.
Yeah, they just let it happen.
Yeah. That was a great scene. And he sets it up very quickly of like kind of like here are the powers that be and what's happening at this point in time, if you didn't already know. Favorite scene? There's lots of them.
I had two, to be fair.
Did you say one? Did you say both of them already?
Well, yeah, it was the little goofy scene and then, like the actual the tipping point for Mrs. Meinhof.
I guess the part where they have that one guy, they're in the communist like boot camp.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And they're sitting by the campfire and they tell him so and so's a Israeli spy and just get rid of him.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, that's when I was like, wow, these guys are kind of dicks. Right.
That okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Andy guy was always kind of a dick, but you know, they're kind of like.
Well, all of them were kind of dicks.
Yeah, that's true.
Movie,
that's true.
They're all pretty shitty people.
For the most part, like I went through like hating the Andy. I went through hating Andy.
Well, I think you're supposed to dislike him at first because he's like the charismatic, crazy dude.
Yeah, he's
leader.
Just an asshole.
He's like a cult leader, basically.
Yeah, and he's not even really into it for. Like, it seems like half the time he's not into it for any cause whatsoever.
Yeah,
so much
no.
He's just, like, going for the kill. Right?
Yeah.
But I think there's some characters in there that you can definitely, like, kind of at least be like, you know, I don't hate you.
You have some redeeming qualities. You know?
Like the guy who ran away from Juvie, you know.
Oh, yeah, the kid that took a bath with...
what's her name?
With the blonde.
With the blonde
terrorist.
Yeah, the blonde terrorist.
Oh,
Gudrun.
Yeah.
It's like GU something. Gudrun or Gurdon. Some shit
it's
like
Gudrun,
that.
Yeah.
Gudrun.
Gudrun or something like that. Yeah. But I like that scene a lot. And, you know, there's just so many different things about it. And I like how they brought in all the like the different terrorist things throughout history, basically.
Yeah.
With the Munich deal especially.
Yeah.
Things that you didn't like, Sam.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Throughout the movie, I didn't feel confused, but I was just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe we don't need this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need this scene or I don't need this other scene. Like, there could have been a different type of development.
Maybe a little bit more cutting, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if cutting would have helped. I thought all of the points it hit were necessary, but I don't know if I needed to. Because, like, they did, you know, when they bombed, like, all of the military installations?
Yeah.
They
did
that, like, real fast. And right, I think some of the other scenes could have been done that fast.
Yeah. Some of the hits are longer than others.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I got confused because they're all, like, white German people, and I can't distinguish white people sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, like, everybody looked the same.
What are you trying to say, Andy?
I'm just saying white people, everybody looks alike.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, race or ethnicity. So, like, I was just confused. But I also, yeah, the John thing was just annoying. That was just, like, a really nitpicky thing. But I thought that other than those things, it was pretty solid.
Well, to be fair, you're not the only one who confused some of the actors and in the movie because,
well, I mean,
if you search the second generation Bridget, the leader,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. If you search the actress's name,
yeah,
right, on Google, the next picture that shows up of her is somebody who died like an hour before she even appeared in the movie.
Okay.
It's the girl that got shot right in the cheek.
Okay. Yeah.
Petra.
And they kind of look alike.
I think it was just that, I know when they had like the scorecard with like all of the names and they're crossing them all off, I kind of wanted to know the characters who would show up later beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like I remember the girl who got shot in the face, that's mm-hmm. Petra.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Ulrike and all those, all the regular people you see consistently, I remember.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was just, it was a little odd to see the second generation just kind of pop up, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know any of you guys. Were you even in training at that desert camp? Like,
yeah, and that'd probably be my criticism of the movie, too, because, yeah you got to see how the first group gets started up, but all these other characters start rolling
in.
They
just kind of, like, show up and are crazier?
Start doing operations, and he's like, well, how did they get involved with it in the first place? Because I think the only backstory you really had on the second generation was from the kid that ran away.
Yeah,
And all these other women start coming in. It's like, well, I don't remember that person.
I don't know where all
these... They just went to nightclubs.
Where did all these hot...
The
they just went to strip clubs and like all the hottest women who are crazy come with us.
Hottest college students ever.
Want
to make some good money? Hey, how about doing this?
Exactly.
Want to kill some pigs?
I think those are my main complaints.
Did you get that's your main criticism too, Mr.
And I think sometimes, you know, I've seen this a couple of times before, and this time I kind of had a little bit of a different reaction to it. I think some of the scenes tend to get a little talky at times.
Okay.
You know, and they're kind of hitting you over the head with this. And maybe it's just because I just got tired of the rhetoric that these guys use all the time in the movie.
When they're all in jail and they're all like against each other and like it's kind of repetitive the way they're like, you hate me. Yes, I hate you. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, okay, we get it. You don't like each other. Don't.
Yeah. And I kind of got tired of, you know, some of the language that that Meinhof uses. You know, it's kind of...
Superfluous.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, she's trying every time she opens her mouth, it's almost as she's trying to make some profound political statement.
She's writing a manifesto.
Precisely.
I was wondering, like, through part of this, because I kind of understand what happened, right? Because I knew from before a little bit about them, but I thought she specifically was like legitimately trying to write something alongside all of this stuff, like a manifesto,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a collection, mm-hmm. but I guess she wasn't.
I don't know. It seemed like she was just kind of like, you know, she would be the pen to the muscle.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it seemed like she had that air where she was like thinking of it on a meta level, like, hey, I'm going to analyze our actions. But
yeah.
And then later on, she's just like, we're crazy, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say my biggest complained about the movie was when they went to the prison and they went back and forth between second generation and the prison scenes in general. You know, the solitary confinement, it's fine. But when they go back and forth between, you know, like, here's the 13th day of trial, back to the cell, 50th day of trial, back to the cell.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of those things you really didn't need. You could show one scene of them just badgering a judge that all being kicked out.
Yeah, exactly. I get that they all don't like each other that much anymore because they've been stuck together, and usually people go crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not likable people to begin with anyhow.
Yeah.
And then you see them kind
of
break up.
None of them are really likable.
Yeah, and see,
I was gonna say the Jewy kid seems just kind of like an innocent doof, but
it's not innocent, but
like his personality is more likable than the other ones.
Well, just
the other
those
ones
four
just seem goofy and crazy.
Those four in the original like solitary when they all went up to the maximum security and they're all together.
Yeah,
it's like all of them like can't stand each other.
Yeah.
And at the same time, though, it's like they couldn't stand each other a lot of the time when they were
beforehand,
even out of prison. So it's a very unlikable crew in the fact that you're watching them and you don't care if they get along or not.
Yeah.
Because they never did.
Yeah.
And they're not. But it's whatever. I thought the prison thing was a little long.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I thought it was a pretty solid movie. Sadly, it does not compare to Argo. You know,
yeah,
and the fact that
it really
you know,
doesn't.
And we just saw Argo today.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, you know, it makes this one look a little less impressive.
Well, it doesn't have that type of levity that Argo has either.
Yeah, I also think it's, I mean, they're going for different audiences and they're going for different themes.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I think this is a much more kind of cerebral, political type of thing. Because, like, yeah, in Argo, you get the sense that the things that the Iranians are doing are mm-hmm. just as dumb and crazy as the things that they're accusing the Americans of doing.
Okay.
You know, but this one kind of, like hits you over the head with it a lot of times. Because, I mean, yeah, at the beginning you have the violence between the, I guess, the Shah fanboys. I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah, the Shah fanboys.
Shah fanboys.
And, you know, the students and mm-hmm. stuff. And that part you can sympathize. But then after that, like, when the people from the RAF start... Like, I actually don't... I think I mentioned this while watching the movie. I don't actually understand how their justice system works. Because, like...
Oh, the fact that they just had this trial go on forever and they held these people
forever?
Well,
yeah, one, the trial went on for a long time. But even before that, like, it seemed as if they could just kind of bomb stuff. And, like, the authorities wouldn't... I don't know if the authorities weren't taking them seriously before or, like, trying to find them. I had a hard time understanding.
It seemed like they were...
Or, like, a lot of times, people just open fire in public and everybody would be like, okay, let's not investigate, guys. Let's just come back, like, an hour or two and be like, oh, that guy died.
You know?
Like, why is... I don't know.
It's just like, I don't know what it would be like in that time period
or
on
even
the streets
like the
of
first time,
a major city.
I don't know. I mean, even like the first time Botter got taken in mm-hmm. was after he had, it was after he opened fire on a bunch of officers, right?
Yeah,
that was arson. That's the first time that he got arrested, right?
Oh, you're right. It's the arson thing.
The arson thing
and then the second time.
The arson thing did harm, like, didn't it kill someone?
No, anyway? It just set fire to that whole store.
Oh, okay.
And then the second time was right after the they had gone into the apartment to go check on some explosives that they had in storage.
Uh-huh.
And remember all the police swarmed in on them with the tank
and
everything.
Yeah, from the second time, like they fired at the officers for a long time and it took a sniper shot to basically get them to stop.
Was the speeding ticket thing, was the speeding one before or after that? Remember when he got caught?
When Petra died?
No, he was driving along the Autobahn,
yeah,
going about 100 miles an hour, and he got pulled over by the cops, and they asked him for his license and his registration. And
then he gets thrown into jail.
Oh.
And that's how they
see, that one I can that one I could kind of understand, because that's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But I don't understand, like, the opening fire on officers thing, because, like, I mean, that shit doesn't fly here in the United States. I don't know. Like, is their system just a lot more lax or something?
It could be. I mean, it might have also been like something Andy said, mm-hmm. you know, given the explosive times that they were living in, maybe they were a little hesitant to do something.
Well, I mean,
more
like
concrete.
If
I don't know.
If they did it earlier, it would have just nipped it in the bud.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I would have liked to have seen.
I mean, not to say that like they should have assumed they were terrorists and stuff, just been like, hey, you get to go to jail for like 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You get to go to
right.
You get to be like in jail for more than 5 days.
Yeah. I guess that's not so much a criticism of the movie so much as it is the German
system. Yeah, yeah, that's not against the movie. If that's accurate, then great job, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't understand.
I don't know, but I'd also have liked to have seen a little bit more explanation as to how the police actually put together that operation.
Oh, yeah. That was really cool.
And I think, you know, to
that
me...
That would have been cool to see.
Yeah.
And I think that's some Tinker Tailor level stuff.
Yeah.
and all those scenes that Bruno Ganz was in as the, I guess, the head police officer.
The Führer.
Oh, yes. Yeah, mein Führer.
The Führer of the police. Yeah. I think I always thought those were interesting.
If you guys didn't get that, that's from... He's the actor in Der Untergang. He plays Hitler in Der Untergang.
Yes. Yes. He does a great job.
He does
playing
a great
Hitler
job.
Of the police this time.
Yeah.
You want some lobster soup?
He got kind of big.
Yeah, he was eating lobster soup the whole time there.
He really enjoyed the lobster. I'm sure it was good.
Yeah. Man, I had something to say about...
The police system?
Oh, have you guys seen Public Enemy Number 1? It's a French movie.
I haven't.
Castle. But you know what I'm talking about? It's about Mizrine.
Oh, with Vince Cassell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that he plays great scumbags.
Oh, my God, he does. And have you seen the first one?
I haven't, no.
Okay, and the first one, there's a reason. Okay, so you're talking about Germany being lax. He was a gangster in France, right?
Yeah.
And the deal was like, I was wondering, like, man, this guy's getting away with a lot of shit, but he still got a lot. He got away with a lot of shit. Like, these guys got away with a lot of shit too.
Okay, so maybe it's just like a European thing.
I have, yeah, maybe okay. Because there's a reason why that guy broke out of prison like five times.
I mean, I can understand that. Like, I know in Russia, there's a lot. Like, hooliganism is like a serious thing. Like,
oh yeah,
it's not really like, you know, you just arrest the dude and put him in jail for a couple of days. But like hooliganism, like turns into a lot of situations where they're like Fourth Reich. Mm-hmm. Type of movements and like I think it's in Russia. I'm not sure if it's, I might be wrong, but I think it's in Russia where they'll just beat the shit out of anybody who's not Russian.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And like the and the authorities don't really do anything about it. I mean, they do that in Britain too, but it's with soccer teams and it's probably a lot less serious because come on, they're British.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Mr. That's A spent a little bit of time over there, right?
Yeah, man.
Yep. That's why during the Olympics they kept talking about the hooliganism thing on like ESPN.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really understand it. But then I remembered I watched a documentary on Current a couple years ago that's about the hooliganism, and it's like the same thing. Like, it's a serious thing in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially with like in Russia. I mean, I have friends of mine who I'd met over there, you know, and they, you know, they weren't exactly Russian-looking.
Yeah.
They got a lot of hell.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. One guy I met, he was from the Dominican Republic, and, you know, he was... you know, darker skinned, and he said he got the shit kicked out of him on a couple of occasions for being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Nah, that's crazy.
You know, and skinheads, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Go figure, right? Yeah. I don't know how we got into that.
I don't know either.
It's a good discussion. I think it attests to how the movie kind of evokes a lot of discourse, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. I thought it was a good movie to watch. And if you guys seriously haven't seen, it's a two-part. One with Public Enemy number one, and then the second one I forgot.
How old are these, Andy?
2009, I think. It was right before Black Swan.
I've never even heard of them.
Yeah, it got a U.S. It didn't even break budget, I don't think. Like, even in France. Like, it was... Yeah. It didn't make its budget back. But it's a really good movie, really graphic gangster movie if you like that kind of thing.
All right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I would watch it because he's a great actor.
Okay.
But he gets away with a lot of shit in that one too. Like firing on the streets at cops in public.
Yeah, maybe it's just a Europe thing.
In the 1970s, who knows?
Yeah.
But I guess we'll round it out with a top like out of scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And then why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I get everybody's looking at me, so I guess
Sam
I'm
always has to lead us on this one. Yeah.
I would probably have to give this like a strong 7. Because I think it was good in a lot of ways, but I think it was a little, not overly ambitious, but it could have handled some of the material a little bit
I can see that.
Smoother.
Okay. Yeah.
Especially, I mean, that could be just because after like the halo effect from watching Argo, which handled very similar themes, but in a much more kind of like smoother way.
Okay.
For that reason, I probably wouldn't recommend this to like just anybody the way I did for Argo. I mean, I think you have to kind of be in the mood for kind of like a kind of an interesting cerebral kind of political thriller almost, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you like that kind of thing, I would definitely give this a watch. It's on Netflix. So.
It is on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's a good watch.
Yeah. What about you, Mr. A?
Well, I think I have to give it an 8, a strong 8. And part of the reason why it doesn't get a higher rating, in my opinion, is because I could see how anybody who doesn't know a lot about, you know, like international terrorism, or, you know, just really doesn't like watching European films, and when they have all these characters that are coming at him from left and right, they might get a little lost in the movie.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know... It is 2.5 hours long. You know, this group is accustomed to watching longer movies.
Yeah,
but I mean, somebody might lose interest in it.
Yeah, but it's not really slow moving.
It's not slow, but
stuff happens.
But it is a long movie.
It is long, and I think some people might just kind of get a little tired of. Okay, well now they're doing the trial.
Well, also
now they're doing the jail thing.
Yeah.
Also, just to mention, it is kind of like a. I mean, it's like a really gritty, kind of grim movie. It's not a movie that like wants you to like it. It's kind of a movie like, look at these terrible people. This movie isn't going to be super pleasurable, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a really, really like satisfying in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this is a lesson you kind of need to learn kind of movie.
I think it does a good job, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it tries not to glamorize terrorism because
no, definitely not.
Let's face it. I mean, you got good-looking actors playing these yeah. people.
Well, no,
and it, maybe some people might tend to romanticize the RAF. You know, yeah. some people.
But then it balances it out. Yeah. For the latter half, yeah, where it's like, look sure. at all these idiots fall apart. You know, and yeah. like how
all they are a bunch of nihilists who want to raise a bunch of trouble and they don't know what yeah. they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, basically, and like they especially. There are like three or four parts in the movie where Bader just starts yelling like a child. And it's like, it's kind of like, hey, these aren't really like okay people. They're not all there.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, you kind of get that from Gudrun when the way she talks to her parents at the very beginning of the movie. You know, she goes on this screed about, well, how her generation just.
It's like she's permanently 16 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. How her generation's in the right and how because of the fact that. Her mom and dad's generation, you know, lived through the Nazi period, that they're in some ways culpable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, for those reasons, you know, just the unlikability of the characters.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a very intense movie.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you can kind of lose the plot.
Yeah. It's
got a lot going on. So, but it is a compelling movie nevertheless.
It is.
Because it kind of shows, you know, it again hits on issues that we're still dealing with 40 yeah. years later.
Right.
Yeah.
So
for sure,
strong eight in my box.
I'm gonna have to go with Mr. A again. We got two in a row.
Okay,
because I can't give an 8.5 out of good conscience because I gave Argo an 8.5, and I think Argo is a better film.
Yeah,
but I thought this was a really good movie, a really good German movie. That is, at least a really good current German movie.
Yeah,
you know, there's a star-studded cast. Even if you don't watch too many German films, you'll be able to recognize some of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was a well done movie in terms of showing kind of like a sweeping narrative of basically a terrorist movement that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought they did a good job of talking about origins. And then kind of obviously they didn't cut it off at the.
Yeah. It makes it super real
after the first to show you kind of the continuity between generations, yeah. which I really liked.
Yeah.
And I'm all for like guerrilla warfare movies. And, I want to mention, have you guys seen the movie Shay with, what's his name?
Shay? No.
Like,
oh, with, Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
And that's broken into two parts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
This movie, in my opinion, is way better than the first Shay movie.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the second one I have yet to see. I heard it's better.
Okay.
But the first one was really slow, and it kind of did the same thing.
Isn't it the rise of Che Guevara?
The first one is, yeah, basically how he kind of comes into the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And his first big battle, right?
Oh, okay.
But it was one of those things where that movie was 2 hours plus of just him getting to – not even the midpoint of his life.
And that's chapter one.
That's chapter one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where if you're into like the guerrilla warfare movie style, this movie is really good. Flame and Citron is also a really good one that I think should still be on Netflix.
Okay.
Okay.
But I'd give this one a strong eight. I thought it was fun to watch. If a little long, but I think it's worth a watch, especially if you guys have Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks again, Mr. A,
five times. Celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for my prize.
We'll get you some later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Do you have any last remarks about Bader?
Well, I'm just glad you guys enjoyed the movie. You know, I try to pick things that, you know, you guys haven't seen before and something that, you know, a lot of people have heard about, something that's unique, something that... And that's something that will inspire a lot of talking afterwards. Yeah. So seems like I did my job here again. Yeah, so
do you want to whet the appetites of our listeners to see if you have any other ideas at the moment of what to watch next?
Well, I've got two potential choices.
Okay.
Since we are coming up on Halloween, I did recommend David Cronenberg's adaptation of Stephen King's The Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Christopher Walken and Thomas Skerritt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's just a Willie and Martin Sheen. I think it's a really well done movie. It's more of a psychological horror film than just, you know, your blood and guts and monster or whatever.
And I mean, Cronenberg is going to bring it pretty well. That psychological.
He does that, but it's not like your typical Cronenberg where you're seeing somebody's head explode.
It's more like Spider.
Yeah, it'd probably be more like that. Yeah. And then I was also thinking about showing you guys Brian De Palma's Body Double. which is a 1984 release, and kind of a Brian De Palma's homage to Rear Window.
Cool. Okay.
So, but we'll play around with it some more. I might change my mind.
Yeah, well, it's something to look forward to for the listeners out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Very cool.
For sure. Well, yeah, as always, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your questions, comments. Tell us what you thought about Bader-Meinhof Complex, if you liked it, if you didn't like it. We look forward to having you listen to us in the future.
Okay.
I'll probably edit that out. That sounded kind of dumb.
No, keep it in. Keep it in. No.
I'd leave that in.
Well, I'd leave it in, too. Yeah.
Please listen to us some more. Yeah. Please. All right. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.